As people and tools change over time, we find new ways to do the old things. That certainly includes in education. The old model of teacher, student, classroom, desks, that's all under revision, too. Competency-based learning is about letting students demonstrate competency in ways other than by showing it through classwork. Southern Oregon University's Innovation and Leadership Program, INL for short, is such a program, giving attention and credit to work that is not the traditional classroom-based learning. We have three guests in the studio here with me, all available in picture on Facebook. Monica Settles is the Innovation and Leadership Coordinator, INL Coordinator. Monica, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
It's great to be here.
Good to have you here. And we have two of the INL students, David Downey. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
And Michael Oxendine is here as well.
Thanks, Jeff.
Oxendine or Oxendine?
Oxendine.
Okay, glad I asked. Let's start with Monica and tell us a bit about the idea of how in general, I mean, not just for INL, but competency-based programs and the basic idea here.
Well, competency-based programs in general, there's been a lot of attention paid to them recently, both at the federal level and the state level, because folks are realizing that that traditional cohort of 18 to 22-year-old student, that's on the wane. There are many, many more students who are sort of your 30-year-old, 40-year-old student who has gained competency in the workplace and has decided to go back and get a degree. And so they're at the federal level and the state level, there's even a House bill asking the Higher Ed Commission to pay attention to how to support colleges and for-profit organizations on how to support students in getting credit for their prior learning and get degrees, even though they are, you know, working professionals.
In a sense, working toward your degree through the School of Hard Knocks, or at least through working. Through,
right, yeah. Right. And how to honor, you know, there are a lot of folks out there who they are skilled. They have learned those competencies in life, and they want to go get those degrees, but they don't want to return to sort of the traditional model and enter the classroom with a 19-year-old who's just, you know, sort of opening up their world to what might be out there. These are folks who know the skills that they need and want and are returning to get those degrees with those skills being honored.
Plus, I imagine there'd be some issues with having to spend as much time as a student would spend in a classroom when they are 19 and 20 and just not having that to spare.
Right. So, for example, the students that are in our program, in this Innovation and Leadership program, they are full-time working professionals. Many of them have very rich lives, complex jobs. They're successful in their careers. And in returning to be a full-time student for us to get this degree, I'm really pleased that we can honor them by offering a degree path that's efficient, that classes meet at night. Classes meet with cohorts of folks like them in the sense that everybody is successful and has had degree success or working success prior to entering into the classroom.
Let's meet some of the students. David Downey, come up to the microphone and tell us a bit about your experience and how you ended up in Innovation and Leadership Program.
Yeah. Recently moved to Southern Oregon about 6 months ago, and my career had been in the financial industry where I had started out as a bank teller and worked my way up to store manager. In my career, I'd hit a bit of a ceiling, which I needed a bachelor's degree to get promoted again and to keep moving up. So I came and met with Stacy Darrig, who is one of the advisors of the INL program, and basically went over the criteria, and it was something that would really work for me. Thus far, the experience has been invigorating. It's really been a life-changing experience. We've really developed a camaraderie in our cohort, and it's been extremely beneficial so far for me.
Michael Oxendine, let's hear about your story.
So I'm the landscape supervisor here at Southern Oregon University. And out of high school, I decided that I wanted to be a paramedic. So I went to RCC, studied paramedicine there, and did a couple ride-alongs with the Ashland Fire Department, and went on some disturbing calls that decided that stressful life, I didn't want to take that home with me. And so I switched career paths completely, stopped going to college, and started working for my good friends Dave and Dan at Plant Oregon, and started learning all about plants and sustainability and the environment and trees, and decided that I was really passionate about that and I wanted to follow that career. And when a job opened up at SOU as a grounds maintenance worker there, I applied for that and got it, and been there for 7 years now and worked my way up to the supervisor's position and decided that it was time to go back to school and get my degree. And I didn't really know how I was going to do that, working full-time and trying to fit college into that plan. And because the traditional college is during the day and online classes can be really difficult to navigate sometimes. And so the The hybrid class was like a perfect fit for me, where we meet in person one day a week. It's a shortened program, so it's 5 week classes instead of 10 week classes. So they cram all that material into 5 weeks, but some of it's online, and you get to meet in person with a professor, which is important to me. And it just fits my schedule perfectly. So it was really, if this wouldn't have come along, I don't know if I'd be in college right now.
Had you hit a ceiling like David did, in the sense that you couldn't advance any further without the degree?
The degree has definitely helped me, in the position that I'm in now. And, I'm not really at a ceiling, but I definitely have always wanted to continue my education. And, you know, it's really cool that the knowledge that I'm learning right now in the program is exactly applicable to what I'm doing in my job. So I am getting better at what I'm doing.
We're talking about the Innovation and Leadership Program at Southern Oregon University with a couple of students who are in it, Michael Oxendine and David Downey, and the coordinator, Monica Settles. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about innovation and leadership and the general broader concept of competency-based learning. 800-838-3760 around the region, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Monica, do they get bachelor's degrees? Do they get master's? Do they get certificates? It sounds like they're sort of collected together to kind of scatter again and learn about their own different fields.
Right. Well, they will, by the time they're done, they will have a bachelor's of science degree. I often have to remind myself that they're not getting master's because they feel like master's level students to me. They're so able and they're so successful. But yeah, by the time they're done with the Innovation and Leadership degree, which takes 21 months to complete your upper level courses, they will have a bachelor's of science.
And so how difficult is it to, or easy for that matter, to assign credit for knowledge gained outside of classrooms?
Well, it's a very interesting process, and it's one that, you know, as I said before, the Higher Education Commission, the HEC, they have a policy group to meet and really sort out what will this look like? How do you assign credit for prior learning? And part of our program, the Innovation and Leadership Program, is a pilot program here at SOU to explore how we're going to do that for students, not just our INL students, but other students at SOU. And yeah, the piece is, how do you decide after 10 years of working in a field, what competencies does someone have, and what then can they, in what ways can they say this is equivalent to a course that's offered? You know, for example, business communications. Have I gained those skills in my workplace, and how do I prove that to an educational system like SOU? So it isn't easy in the sense that students have to develop a portfolio to prove that they have those skills, whether they be in business communication or spreadsheets. You know, they can apply for that credit for prior learning in a number of arenas.
And how much do you guys get to help each other? Because I can imagine that having worked in a bank, you'd probably be really up to date on spreadsheets and stuff like that, where Mike and Michael might have some other stuff that you don't have.
I mean, you would think, excuse me, working at a bank, I would be really strong at Microsoft Excel and spreadsheets when anything could be farther from the truth. That's probably one of my biggest struggles. I really flourished in the financial realm due to my customer service ability and my friendliness and my ability to relate with people. When it came time for spreadsheets, that was something I would delegate. So this has been a...
You were made to be a manager then, weren't
you? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's something I'm really learning. And I think a great thing about the program is the instructors are aware of all of our backgrounds, and so they're communicating us on a level that they're treating us like professionals, and they expect a lot from us. And so it does help, because we can contact each other via social media and meet up at the lab to help each other with homework and whatnot. So there is a connectivity between all of the students in the cohort that I think is building. We're in the third class right now, and I really do see some connections happening. But as far as Excel goes, I'll check back in a couple weeks with you.
Okay. Good to hear about that. And Michael Oxendine, what kinds of things did you bring into the program that you felt like you could share with lots of other people?
Well, you know, the cohort is a great – it's similar to SOU's house program, where you get together with students that are – going to be with you the entire time, working towards the same, they're taking the same classes, they're working towards the same degree, and they have some similar experiences in the field. And I think that you know, having vast knowledge, getting together and using that to help each other through these assignments and through these traditional college courses, we work really well together. And it's not, you know, I have Excel skills, but it's not like, okay, you're an Excel master and I'm, you know, really good at accounting and I'm really good at, you know, psychology. It's just we all have this vast knowledge and we can get together and really share that and help each other out and become friends. Like David and I are good friends now outside the program and inside the program. So having that cohort, that group, that team to stick around the whole time through and help each other. You know, cohorts are shown to have higher graduation rates than traditional programs and house models similar.
How hungry were you for learning? I mean, as much time as you'd spent outside the classroom over the last few years, I mean, was it like, hey, this is going to be great? Or were like, oh, geez, I'm back in a classroom and I just want to go get credit for the stuff I've been doing outside of here.
I've actually been going to school at RCC too, leading up to this. And I've been taking classes for 14 years. I really love learning and it's really important to me to keep my mind active. And this is just another step, you know, and it's really nice.
How did you collect the 18 people for the program, Monica Settles?
Well, I think as we put the word out, we met with businesses all, you know, in the greater Rogue Valley area to let them know, you know, do you have employees in your workforce who, you know, are successful, who you recognize their skills, but you either, you know, that they want to get their bachelor's degree, or you want them to have the skills connected to this bachelor's. As we put the word out, people contacted us and were eager to join. The forming of this started just last August, and you know, within a couple of months, we have these 18 students that are in the first cohort. They really jumped on board quite quickly. I think they recognize the value of, although there's a lot of wonderful pieces that come together and make this a good process for them. You know, the fact that they can get credit for prior learning, the fact that classes do meet face to face. As David said to me earlier, he really likes the fact that it's brick and mortar. You know, they've been really enjoying the connections with folks. You can go back to school and get your degree online. There are many good programs out there to do that. But I think our students really enjoy the mix of meeting one night a week, having a group of folks to work with. The courses are sequenced. They're 5 weeks at a time so that they know this path is clear to them. They're not going to have to sort of pick and choose and try to figure out, you know, where is this class and when does it meet. And yet there's, you know, some work is done online and their skills as adults, as working professionals, is really being honored.
We're talking about the Innovation and Leadership Program at Southern Oregon University. Monica Settles is the coordinator. Students David Downey and Michael Oxendine are here as well. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org or check them out on Facebook. You can see a picture of them in the studio from a few moments ago. What is the ultimate capacity? And if you're at 18 now, I mean, do you have room potentially if this catches on to be a much bigger program?
Oh, certainly. I think the only thing, you know, we want to monitor so that the class size stays at a reasonable size to be good teaching. We will join, the second cohort will join these folks. The second cohort starts late August. So we're accepting applications now, both at SOU and then specifically for the INL program. And those folks will start as a group as a second cohort.
Are the courses that are given to each cohort dependent in part on what skills they actually bring in? I mean, if you decide that, boy, in this cohort, they really don't need this course because they've already got all this stuff.
It would be difficult. We have 16 courses that have been sort of mapped out, and the courses were chosen based on the fact that we interviewed businesses across the valley and asked, what skills do you want your employees to have? And businesses told us, employers in this valley told us, they really wanted their employees to have critical thinking skills, interpersonal skills, management skills, in addition to whatever, you know, healthcare skills or banking skills, you know, those sort of hard skills that came with that profession. So the courses have been designed, the 16 courses were chosen from the business department here at SAU, the communications department, the psych department, and the emerging media and digital arts department with those needs in mind. So we have courses in group dynamics, applied business research, organizational leadership, and advanced spreadsheets, which is the course these folks are in right now. So the 16 courses have been sort of mapped out, and folks will join in and pick those up at the point that they enter in the cohort.
But again, each course just 5 weeks at a time, so it's just spreadsheets right now, and then you'll have
the next thing
later on.
Which again, I think as working adults, they really appreciate. Focus on one class at a time, always meets, you know, right now it's Tuesday nights. It's mapped out for them. It's, you know, with our adult lives, families and jobs, it's nice to be able to manage school, you know, in sort of a focused fashion.
And so, David Downey, how does it fit into your life with this evening stuff? I mean, you're still working full time too?
Yeah, basically right now I'm doing the full time student, catching up on some of my back credits. And then I also do a part time business at home where I do consulting for Amazon sales and marketing. So in the Amazon marketplace. And how it's fitting in, I mean, it's been great. It's just been, I can't talk enough about how much of a life changing experience it's been. In one of the prior classes, we did digital portfolios. And one of my great dreams has always been my artistic career. So I've been a writer and a performer for years, and that's just opened up new avenues for me to kind of promote myself to the world. So it's, I mean, it's been fitting in great. I'm sure my dogs would like to get walked a little bit more, but that's okay. I think they'll be happy for me to have the degree.
And Michael Oxendine, how about for you? You're still busy. I mean, I noticed the other day that you're out with the landscape crew at SOU putting the new mulch in front of the front gate there.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Well, I wanted to step back just a second and hit on the one class at a time, the 5-week program, and how that fits in for me. If anybody out there that's listening wants to go back to school and get a degree, and maybe is concerned about how much it's going to cost, the way it's set up with the two classes per term but 5 weeks each, it's still 8 credits per term, and so you can still get financial aid for that, which has helped me a lot. And I think they set that up that way on purpose. But you're just focused on the one class at a time, which for me is very important because I'm really busy in my full-time job. And then when I go home, you know, if I'm focusing on 2 or 3 classes at a time, like a traditional student would, very difficult to get that much homework done and have that much on your plate. So the focus is huge.
All right. A lot of work going on still, and best of luck to both of you. David Downey and Michael Oxendine are students in the Innovation and Leadership Program. Monica Settles is the coordinator. Thanks for stopping by the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Here.
Thank you very much.